Morning. Open your Bibles this morning to John chapter 10. When Stephen Henning of Huntley, Illinois was 2 years old, he contracted spinal meningitis. It was the winter of 1943, and because of World War II, doctors had a shortage of penicillin and could not provide Steve the treatment he needed. Sadly, he lost his hearing. For 57 years, Steve could not hear music, laughter, or human speech. Even though he lived a full life, he longed to hear the voices of those he loved. In the winter of 2001, he learned of a surgical procedure that would allow sound waves to bypass non-functioning part of the ear and travel directly to the auditory nerve. And on January 30th, he was operated on. Because the implanted device could not be activated until the swelling in the ear decreased, the doctors and Steve didn't know if the operation was successful for 6 weeks. The day of reckoning came on a blustery spring day. Steve nervously wondered if the procedure had been in vain. As the audiologist programmed the cochlear implant, he invited Steve's wife to say something. Pat Henning leaned over towards her husband and gently said, "I love you." Able to hear for the first time in 6 decades, Steve's face broke out in a smile. The first words he heard were words of love, and his wife said, "I love you." All of us need to hear that today. All of us need to hear the words, "I love you." Christ loves you beyond anything you can imagine. The first words that we hear when we are saved are, "I love you." Christ shares with us how much He loves us. All through the Scriptures, Christ loves us. Before we accept Jesus as our Savior, we are spiritually deaf to the words of love He is speaking to us. But there comes that time, once we have come into relationship with Jesus, when He not only expresses His love for us, but He calls us by name. As we go into our new series, Grasping God's Generosity, I want to preach today on God Knows Me. God knows me personally. And God knows you personally. Amen. God knows every one of us by name. He knows every one of us by the hairs of our head. The Bible says God numbers every hair of our head, and He knows every part of our body. Amen. He knows us personally, and He loves us personally. In John 10, Jesus describes Himself as a shepherd and a gatekeeper. And He describes His followers as His sheep. In John chapter 10, if you'll stand with me, we'll read verses 1 through 3. The Bible says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the potter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out." Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the message that you've given me. Father, we ask you, Lord, that you would help me to teach it in a way that everyone will feel what I felt when I prepared this message, the love of Jesus Christ. We ask you, Lord, that you would help us to realize that you love us unconditionally, that you love us no matter what we've done and where we're at today, that you have love and you know our names. We ask you, Lord, that you would go with me. Lord, as I teach your word this morning, give me the power to teach and preach. Give me the power and give me the words to say, for it's in Christ's name we ask it all. Amen.
Amen.
Rather than a God in the distance and a God who cannot be known or approached, God says that we have a God that knows our name. and your name. God knows every one of our names. He knows Brother Eddie by name. He knows Brother everyone in this church. He knows Brother Paul by name. He knows us all by name. God loves us so much, and God cares for us so much that He calls us the sheep of His pasture. He is the great shepherd, and He loves every one of His sheep. He is speaking of an intimate relationship that we have with Him, a relationship that is ours for all eternity. In John chapter 10, verse 27 through 30, the Bible says this, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." God knows each of us intimately, and He cares for each one of us individually. Listen, my friend, He promises us that His love will remain for us forever, and our relationship with Him will never come to an end. I think so much of us need to be reminded of this today, because so much is going on in our world today. So many hatred. I heard a story this week of a pastor and a church being condemned to death because they worship God. Listen, my friend, Christianity is under attack today, but we know we have a God that loves us. We know we have a God that cares for us. We know we have a God that always will be with us. God's love will never end. Listen, let's consider four things God knows about us. Number one, God knows my failures. God knows when you fail, but that does not stop Him from loving you. God knows everything about your life. This is bad news or good news, depending on how you look at it. David said in Psalm 69, verse 5, "O God, Thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from Thee." God knows our foolishness. He knows our failures. He knows when we turn our back on Him. He knows when we go astray. But He still says, "I'm here for you if you'll just return to me. I'll come. All you've got to do is come back to me, and I'll accept you like I accepted you when you were first saved." God's love never changes. God's love is never ending. God wants you to know today that God is always with you. Fact number one, I can't hide from God. God knows everything about us. The fact is, sometimes we want to forget that God knows us so intimately because it's a little uncomfortable. God knows everything about our lives. He knows when we sin. He knows when we live holy. He knows everything about our life. God is in tune with everything and everyone in this congregation this morning. Listen, it's uncomfortable to me to realize I can't keep any secrets from God. We say this, "There are some things I'd rather God not know about me, but I don't have any secrets, and neither do you." God knows everything about us. Foolishly, when we do something wrong, we try to hide our sins, sneak them past God, put them in a closet and lock the door. Adam, when he sinned, tried to run away and hide from God. God comes walking through the garden and says, "Adam, where are you?" Now, did God do this because He did not have any knowledge of where Adam was at? No. God wanted Adam to confess his sins. Amen. He said, "Adam, wherefore art thou? Wherefore art thou, Adam? I'm looking for you because you've sinned against me." And Adam came. And what was the first thing Adam did when he came and presented himself before God? He said this, "That woman you gave me, caused me to sin. That woman you gave me caused me to sin. Adam did not accept responsibility for taking the fruit that God had not told them not to eat. He said, the woman you gave me caused me to sin. How many times do we do that? How many times do we blame our sins on other people? How many times do we say, God, it's not my fault. God asked Cain, where's your brother Abel? Abel had been murdered by Cain, and God wanted Cain to admit it. You always have an audience. Nothing you ever say is off record. God is always watching. You're always on stage. There's no secret closet. Everything you think, everything you see, everything you do, everything you feel, God sees it all. He knows all about it. That means that last week, when you told that white lie because you didn't want to be found out, the devil has a line for us then. He says, no one will ever know about it. The devil will make you think no one will ever know about it. But God sees all things. God is not blind to any sin you commit. God is always aware of everything you do. So we go ahead and do it. And then afterwards, he hits us with another question. What if they find out? What if my parents find out about what I've done? My wife or husband, what if they find out about what I've done? Or my boss, the IRS, and we worry. But we already been found out. God knows, and he's the one that counts. He knows all my faults, all my failures. God isn't shocked by my sin. He's already seen it. He saw it coming. He saw it from the very beginning of time when he created me. When we confess to him the things that we've done wrong, he's not shocked. He saw it coming. I know, I understand. I know why it happened. I know why you ended up in this situation. He understands our faults. He understands our failures. And he knows we are made from dirt. Our response should be honest with him. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 and 9 says this, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Listen, if we say we have no sin, what does the Bible say? We deceive ourselves. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. None of us are perfect. None of us are beyond sinning. But God knows about our sin. God sees our sin. He sees our failures. Does that cause God to stop loving us? Certainly not. God's love is unconditional. God still loves you even though you were a sinner. God still loves you even though you sin. What does he want to do? Our response should be confessing our sins to God. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I heard a preacher say that verse does not concern Christians. That our sins have all been washed away from the beginning of time. That verse does not pertain to us. Let me tell you, if you sin against God and you don't confess it, God will not bless you. God will stop answering your prayers. David said this, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Amen. He will not hear your prayers if you have unconfessed sins. That verse does pertain to everyone. It does pertain to every Christian. We all sin and we all need to confess our sins daily because God will not bless us when we have unconfessed sin in our lives. What should we do? Just admit your sin. I'm not fooling anybody. You're right. God and I was wrong. God already knows all I've been doing wrong and he still loves me. When I admit my wrongdoing to him, it doesn't change the way he feels about me, because he already knows all about my failures. That means I don't have to fake it. I don't have to pretend with God. God knows, secondly, God knows my frustration. He knows all of us are frustrated. He knows all of us are frustrated with our government today. He knows all of us are frustrated with our children. He knows all of us are frustrated with people who disappoint us. Often, when we're hurting, we feel isolated, very lonely. Maybe there's been a death in the family, a divorce. Maybe we've gotten fired from a job. We feel all alone and think nobody understands the way I feel. But you know what? God understands. Yes. He understands your frustration. He understands your hurts. He understands your feelings. He understands everything about you. God is an intimate Savior who cares about you. He cares so deeply about you that he sent his son to die for you. Psalms 31 verse 7 says this, I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities. God has seen the crisis in your soul and he understands. When God knows your name, it means he knows everything about you. He isn't off in the distance somewhere, unconcerned with the trials that you're going through in your life. Psalms 56 verse 8 says this, Thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle, and that are they not in thy book. Listen, God takes every tear that we face when we're frustrated and puts it in a bottle as a remembrance of all we've gone through. Listen very carefully, my friend. God cares about your frustration. He cares about everything you're going through. He cares about those people who have gone through trouble, gone through strife, gone through problems, and are frustrated because of it. God cares about you so deeply. There's no hurt that goes unnoticed by God. He sees it all. But what does God think when he knows how you feel? How does he react? Psalms 103, verse 13 and 14 tells us, Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. I want to read that passage again, and I want you to listen very carefully. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. God cares about our frustration. He cares about our issues. He cares about our problems. He cares about everything you're going through. And he wants to comfort you. Fact, God is sympathetic. God is sympathetic to my hurts, your hurts. Not only does he see them, but he cares about them. God understands why it happened. He knows the causes, the reasons, the things that brought you to this point, and he sees how it all fits together. The Bible says he understands because he made us. He made us from dirt, and he understands all the frustrations we go through. He knows my thoughts, my failures, my feelings, and all of my frustrations. He sees my hurt in my heart. Nobody else may, but God does. Our response should be to give him all of my hurts. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, that's talking about God, for he careth for you. I'll read that passage again, and I want you to listen very carefully. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. If you're dealing with frustrations today, if you're dealing with problems today, if you're dealing with heartache today, lay it on Jesus. He says, I care for you. I want to shelter you. I want to take that burden from you. I want to help you deal with all the problems. Cast all your worries, your cares, and frustrations on God once and for all, and don't take them back. Give him your hurts, just like you give him your faults. Give him every area of your life. Thirdly, God knows my fears. A lot of attention has been paid to different phobias or fears that people have. I recently saw a list of all documented phobias, and there are literally hundreds of them. Let me just give you a few of them that you might have heard of, but not thought about. Fear of washing or bathing. Fear of chickens. Fear of body smells. Fear of going to church. Fear of teenagers. Fear of being infested with worms. Fear of hearing a sermon. Fear of a mother-in-law. Fear of phobias. Some of these sound pretty wild, but they are real fears that people have. Most of you have not suffered from these types of fears, but there might be other things that are causing you to live in fear today. The Bible tells us about some common fears. Jesus says this, "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." That is showing us that the lost have a fear of coming into the light. Why? Because their fears will be revealed. Their sins will be revealed by the light of Jesus Christ. They have a fear of coming to the Savior. Paul said, "And deliver them who though fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." I'll read that again. "And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." Paul says, fear of death causes people not to give their soul to Christ. Fear of death, the unknown. What's going to happen to me when I die? What's going to be of my body? Where's it going to go? Where's my soul going to end up? Many times people fear the fear of death. And let me tell you something, my friend. That fear is real. That fear grasps them and will not let them go. We could all speak of the fear that some have concerning their future. Will I get laid off from my job? Will I have the money to pay all my bills? Will our kids turn out all right? All these fears we face. Many people are concerned about losing their job today. Many places are closing down because they can't get help. Many people have fear of their families. Will my kids turn out all right? Will my kids worship God, or will they turn from God? What will happen to my kids? Will the money I put aside last me through my retirement? Many people worry about not having enough money to go and carry them through their retirement. Listen, all of these fears are fears that pay off, that fears that keep us bound in sin. All of these fears are not the way we should have our Christian life. There are other things that people commonly fear that we don't have time to discuss here. However, I think we get a better understanding of our relationship with God, we might find that most of these fears are not even justified. God says that fear is of the devil. Fear is of the devil. The devil is the cause of one to fear. He's the one that puts all these doubts in our mind. He's the one that causes us to worry about future things that are going to happen to our family. He is the one that's the author of confusion. God is not the author of confusion. Fear, fact. Number one, fear is often misplaced. If we could see the big picture, we would find that our fear is usually misdirected. Speaking of the love that God has for us, John said, "There's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." Listen, John was right. Fear is of the devil. Fear is of Satan. Fear causes torment in our souls. Fear causes anguish in our soul. Fear is not of God. When God's love comes into our lives and we experience it for what it really is, fear goes out the window. Our fear of life, our misguided fear of God, are derived from fear of judgment. But when we truly understand that God knows our name, that He loves us intimately, and that He has drawn us into relationship unto Himself, then fear that once we faced in our life is now forgotten as we are fully experiencing God's loving care. Our response? Fear the Lord. There is misguided fear of the Lord and an appropriate fear of the Lord. This misguided fear is one that fears judgment and wrath, even in the face of the promises God has made to us as believers. The rational fear is the one that recognizes that God is both sovereign of the universe and yet at the same time stooping down to our level. Fear is cast out when we have a reverent fear of God and yet the same to find great comfort in His presence. Listen, my friend, love casts out fear. The love of God should wipe all the fear we have in our life out. We should not fear anything because God loves us. Listen, fourthly, God knows my faith. Every time I do the right thing, God is watching. Every time, instead of sinning, I choose not to sin. Every time I resist a temptation, every time I stand for something, God sees it. I have no conviction, no matter how small or insignificant. God understands, and He sees my faithfulness to Him. Jesus said this, "Take heed that you do your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven." He also said, "That thine alms may be in secret, and that thy Father which seeth in secret Himself shall reward thee openly." What is this teaching us? That we are to pray in secret. We are to pray in secret to our Heavenly Father. Go in your closet and pray to God. He says, "Those that pray in secret, I'll reward you openly. Those that give your alms in secret, I'll reward you openly." He said, don't give your alms before men. Don't give them before men. Don't do this. Don't give money before men and let them see your good works. Do it secretly, and God will reward you openly. This is a good lesson for all of us. Fact, all of your good deeds will be rewarded. Every good deed will be rewarded, no matter how insignificant, regardless of whether anybody else on earth saw it or not. Every encouragement you give to other people, every kind word or compliment you give to your children, every time you do a thoughtful act for your husband or wife, it's all seen by God. Every time you pick up around the office when it's not your job, every time you set chairs in the church or stuff bulletins, every kind of thought, every act of courtesy, every time you had the opportunity to gossip and you don't, every time you had the opportunity to be critical and you weren't, that you were positive instead of negative. God sees it all. He sees every little thing we do in life. He sees the good deeds we perform, and He also sees the bad deeds we do. But God sees it all, but He still cares for us. Our response? Don't be discouraged. Some of you are saying, "I've been trying to do the right thing in my marriage. I don't see any results. I've been trying to be the right kind of person and respond correctly with my kids, to my parents, to my wife, or to my husband. I've been trying to be a good Christian at work. I've been trying to have a good testimony at school. I don't know if it's paying off. I don't see if I'm making an impact in anybody's life." God says this, "I see it."
Amen.
"I see it all. and it doesn't matter who else sees it. No good thing ever goes unrewarded. Every act of kindness, every act of love, God is recording it all. Paul says, "And let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." In conclusion, as we draw to a close of this message, I want you to fill in the blank of a famous scripture with your name in mind. John 3:16. "For God so loved..." Place your name right there. "God so loved Paul. God so loved Brother Eddie. God so loved Brother Landis. God so loved Sister Mary. God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." God knows your name. He proved the depth of the relationship he wants to have with you by sending his Son to die on the cross. God knows your failures. He knows your frustrations. He knows your fears. And he knows your faith. Listen, my friend, God knows all about you. You can't hide anything from God. God knows every hair of your head. He knows every blood corpuscle that runs through your veins. He knows all of your white blood cells. He knows all of your red blood cells. He knows everything about this body. He knows your mind. He knows your heart. He knows all about you. You can't hide anything from God. He knows your name. He proved it by sending his Son to the cross. And what's nothing more than to draw you to himself and let you know that he loves you. Can you let him love you today? Can you let Christ love you today? Can you put down your guard and just let God love you? Why not do it today? God says, "I love you no matter where you're at. I love you no matter what you've been through. I love you no matter what you're facing. I love you no matter what you've done. Come to me, confess your sins, and I will shower my love upon you." Listen, my friend, God loves you unconditionally. He loves you more than you could ever know. And God wants you to know today, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that he wants to have a firm and strong relationship with you like he has with his Son. He wants us to be one with him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the words you've given us this morning to share. And we ask you, Lord, that you take this message, you would implant it into our hearts and help us to be all you would have us to be. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace. We thank you, Lord, for loving us enough to send your Son to die on the cross to save us from our sins. We ask you, Lord, that you would take us now and help us as we go through this invitation and this time to come to you in free pardon of sin, to come to you confessing our sins, come to you admitting our faults and our failures, and lay them at the foot of the cross and lay them on Jesus, who said that he cared for you and he wants to shelter you. He wants to share your burdens, and he wants to share all of the things we're going through today. For it's in Jesus' name I ask it all. Amen.